numb me to the pain, but all it did was intensify it. I tried getting drunk, thinking it would numb me to it, but all it did was amplify it. And somewhere during the course of the day, it dawned on me that the only way I was going to get relief is if my life stopped. Now, I had never been suicidal up until that moment. I loved life. I liked being alive. But I promise you, I longed for death, if death would stop this pain. And so I decided that I was going to end my life that night. And I'm not very brave, so I lived by drugs. I was going to die by drugs. And all of the friends, nobody knew. To make matters worse, the person I killed was my best friend. Nobody knew what I had done. I knew what I had done, and the knowledge of it was eating me alive. And so all the friends were going to have a wake or memorial, whatever you want to call, prior to the family having a funeral. We were all going to get together and just remember this person. So everybody decided to come over to my house because my house was the only house big enough to accommodate the crowd. And so about 30 to 40 people were coming over, and I decided I was going to ingest as many drugs as I possibly could, and I was going to OD and die. Because when druggies party, they party with drugs. When they mourn with drugs. So there was going to be a lot of drugs there. And so everybody was coming over. Everyone was supposed to get there at 3, and people were still showing up at 4, and I was at the front door. It's a sunny afternoon in Vero Beach, Florida, 1972, July 26th. And some stragglers coming up, and this car pulled up, and I recognized the car because I knew the person driving the car. It was a girl. Her name was Lynn, and she had called up earlier in the day and said, "Jim, I heard about so-and-so. Can I come over?" And I said, "Yes." But the only reason I said yes was based on the fact that the last time I had seen her, which was probably about 4 months earlier, I had sold her a fairly large quantity of drugs. So thinking she was still in the same lifestyle as I was, I said, "Yes, come on over." Had I known that she had become a Christian, I would have never allowed her into my house. I didn't like Christians. The only thing I knew about them is that the only encounter I ever had with them was at rock concerts. I'd be sitting in there, stoned, trying to really groove on the music, and you can always count on a group of squeaky clean-looking young people who came up and looked like they just came off a Pepsodent commercial, all smiles, you know, and they would have tracks that they would try to give you, and these tracks were about musicians and singers that had, by that time, had died of overdoses, and these tracks said that they were burning in hell. People like Jim Morrison of the Doors, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix. And I would always be offended, thinking that God wouldn't waste their talents by putting them in hell. I mean, if God had a worship band, he'd want Jimi Hendrix as his lead guitarist, you know, And so I was always offended by that. So we called them Jesus freaks, with the emphasis on freaks. So I didn't know anything about them. I just knew I didn't like them. And so I didn't know that. I just saw her pull up. And when she got out of the car, it struck me that at first I thought she was stoned already, because when she got out, she was just glowing. I mean, there was a radiance about her. It was a sunny afternoon, and I had this impression, honestly, that when she got out of the car, it got a little bit brighter. I mean, she looked like she was from the Order of the Silly Grin. You know, that's how Christians look when they first get saved. You know, you can't make them mad. They know Jesus, you know, and nothing can get to them. And so I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that she was smiling from ear to ear, and she was carrying this industrial-sized book, which I thought was a dictionary. And I'm thinking to myself, why would she be bringing a dictionary to a wake, you know? And later found out to be a Bible. It was a really big one. And she came walking up to me. I'm standing at the door. I said, "Hey, Lynn," and I'm trying to see what kind of book it was. And she said,